It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, an unassuming windowless building on the UW-Madison campus can simulate almost any climate on Earth. It's called Biotron, and we'll talk to the director.
First, a Democratic state senator is introducing a handful of bills this week aimed at addressing staffing shortages and other problems at Wisconsin correctional facilities. The bills come after news of a State Department of Justice raid on a juvenile corrections facility and concerns over working conditions at those facilities around the state.
The legislation would pave the way for things like increased on-the-job training, a limit on forced overtime, and would give Department of Corrections employees the power to collectively bargain over workplace safety.
Here with us now to take a closer look at these bills is Patrick Marley, who covers state politics and state government from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So why are we seeing this passel of legislation now from a Democratic minority state senator?
So Senator Erpenbach he's got a couple prisons in his district. He had heard about some concerns there. He held sort of a public forum this summer or fall where he heard from folks who work at Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage and other nearby institutions. They raised a lot of concerns about the significant staffing shortages that they have there. And he then later met with the Corrections Secretary Ed Wall, and this is his proposed fix to a number of these issues.
So in addition to those kind of ongoing concerns about staffing, there's been this big, high-profile scandal at a youth correctional facility up in northern Wisconsin. Is that part of the impetus, do you think, behind this legislation?
He says no. So this, what we've been writing about recently with Lincoln Hill School up a little bit north of Wausau, really came out in December. We found out about this year-long investigation that is still ongoing, very significant crimes that are, they're concerned may have been committed regarding neglect of prisoners, sexual abuse, physical abuse of prisoners. These are children. That all developed after Erpenbach had been hearing from people about these staffing shortages, which are a problem at all the institutions statewide. And so he says that the Lincoln Hill situation is not what's prompting his particular legislation.
Well, let's dig into some of the specific proposals here. One, and this seems like it would be a tough sell to Republicans, restoring some collective bargaining rights to prison workers, correctional workers, to bargain over workplace safety in particular. What has Erpenbach said to make the case for that one?
Well, he says that workplace safety is something that was lost under Act 10, something you could negotiate over, and that it's a very important factor for the job for people in corrections in particular, saying that the frontline staff are the ones who understand the security best because they live it every day. They have contact with inmates. They may know about problems that are emerging that management doesn't see as quickly. So he believes they should be able to negotiate over that portion of their working conditions. That's going to be a no-go with Republicans controlling the legislature. There's only a couple of months left in the legislative session. So I think of his proposals, all of which will have a tough road, him being a Democrat in a Republican-controlled legislature, that is the one that's got the highest obstacle.
When it comes to issues of staffing and training, what kind of things are included in these pieces of legislation?
Well, right now, if you get a job at the Department of Corrections, before you start, you spend 7 weeks at an academy, you get trained on what to do, and then you get taken to the institution. He's concerned that there's not enough additional training once you get there because of these staffing shortages. He's saying that they have to put people on the job right away, and he believes that that's contributing to people quitting soon after they start the job because he doesn't think that they have enough training. So his legislation would require that after the 7 weeks of initial training you get, once you arrive at the institution, you have an additional 4 weeks of training, that you'd be there on the scene and get better acclimated to the institution before you were working on your own, so to speak.
So more training and one goal to prevent turnover as well, it sounds like.
Yes, because he believes that that's part of the problem with staffing shortages is not just that they can't hire enough people, but they cannot retain the people that they do hire, or they can't retain enough of them.
Is there anything in the legislation calling for funding for more staff at prisons around the state?
A little bit. One thing that the legislature did this summer was they eliminated some positions for the people who work in the towers at state institutions. He would restore that. He would also create a couple of positions, I think about 5 per institution, requiring that you would have a first responder so that when an assault happens or another incident happens, that you have designated people there in addition to your regular staff who would respond to those situations. So it would increase marginally the total staffing, number of positions available. But, you know, we've got thousands of officers statewide, so it's really not that big of an increase. His main focus is on trying to fill the existing positions or there, you know, making changes that he says will make it easier to hire people and keep them on the job.
Talking to Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about some proposed legislation changing some of the way things would work at Department of Corrections facilities, prisons, juvenile facilities around the state. Now, there have been these rumblings over staffing shortages, maybe unsafe conditions for a while now. Have we heard anything from the Department of Corrections on how they're trying to deal with these issues?
Well, the Department of Corrections has been doing a number of things to try to address this problem. They say that they are trying to up their recruiting efforts. They've also, some institutions have had such shortages, well, at least one, Columbia, where they've been sending in officers from other institutions, paying them mileage, paying them for hotels so they can work additional shifts here. There's been discussion of making people work 12-hour shifts instead of 8-hour shifts at various institutions. That idea seems to have been shelved. And perhaps the most significant thing is Ed Wall, the corrections secretary, has said that he's going to raise pay for correctional officers, but he has not given us any details as to when that would be implemented, how much of a raise there would be, and what the cost to taxpayers would be.
And the overtime issue, I know, has been a big one, both in terms of costs and maybe possible risks of having the same correctional officer working, you know, 16-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts back, you know, day after day after day. Has that been addressed by the Department of Corrections or in this legislation from Senator Erpenbach?
Well, it's, if you talk to frontline correctional officers, they say it's a concern that they're getting forced to work so much that they're, you know, they're concerned about their lives outside, you know, the impact it has on their personal lives. But also, I think some have a concern that there's going to be a level of fatigue, that you're going to have officers who work so much that they're not as alert as they need to be if incidents arise, and incidents do arise in institutions. Erpenbach, one thing that he has in his legislation is that officers would not be allowed to work more than 2 16-hour shifts in a day. So if you're forced to work overtime 2 days in a row, the next day the most you could work would be 8 hours, and that is aimed at giving people some relief so that they are fresh enough to do that job that can be dangerous.
Is there any thought that any of this proposed legislation from, again, a senator in the minority party has much of a chance, or is this mainly just symbolic, trying to raise attention to these issues?
He says it's not symbolic, but it is. It not only is the challenge for him that he's in the party that doesn't control things, it's that it's introduced in January of a year when the legislature is likely to only go until, say, March, and then they'll be off for the year to campaign. So the legislative session is very short. It's very late to introduce legislation that has a chance of getting passed.
As you talk to people in the legislature, is there a worry that maybe this Lincoln Hills story might be related to these staffing problems? We're going to see more scandals, more investigations in other facilities if something isn't done?
Well, I think that Lincoln Hills is definitely not immune to the staffing problems that we've seen elsewhere. You know, the concerns about staffing there are very real, and they're similar to other institutions. And you have it perhaps even more aggravated there in that a dozen or so people have been put on administrative leave, paid leave while they're being investigated, and so that makes you have an even bigger staffing shortage. You know, there's no indications at this point that the kind of alleged abuse that occurred at Lincoln Hills has occurred at other institutions, so I think for now we need to really keep these things as two separate issues that need to be looked at, sort of the staffing problem institution-wide, and then the particular incidents at Lincoln Hills that are being investigated.
Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Patrick Marley, state government reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us to talk about new legislation aimed at addressing staffing shortages and other problems at Wisconsin prisons.